Well, we're going to close with baptism. We've already done that. We're going to do communion together here this morning. And I just wanted to say a few words and introduce the book of Ephesians to us, because that's what we're going to be going through in the next couple of months, is the book of Ephesians. And the book of Ephesians, if you're the reoccurring theme that comes up in the letter to the Ephesians is the word grace. It's this wonderful thing that's given to us. And we've been hearing about it through the stories this morning, and we want to celebrate grace together in communion. It's pretty cool that we're able to do these two ordinances, is what they're called, but they're both responses to God's grace about what he's done for us. And this word grace pops up in the first two verses, and these are my two verses, and I'm going to just share for a few minutes, and then we'll go into communion. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, "This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." Now, I know sometimes we read the Bible and we go, you know, what am I reading? Does this mean anything to me? We've heard a little bit this morning about the Bible kind of coming alive for us. But I think it's really good when we understand kind of what it's saying. It says, this is a letter to the people in Ephesus. We might go, who are these people in Ephesus? And is this letter for us? In some ways you go, okay, am I reading the Bible? Am I reading somebody else's mail? Wally, who did announcements this morning, he came into the office a couple months ago with a whole bunch of his own personal letters. I say, what's up? And Wally says, well, somebody's broken into our mailboxes in our neighborhood. And so I'm having to go to the post office and pick up the mail there at the central place. Well, thankfully, it's only like a block from our ministry center, so that was perfect. But what an inconvenience. But you think about the guys who might have done that, or people that would have done that. Do they read the letters? I think we know there's maybe some other things they're after when they go through those mailboxes. But you think about it. Are they reading, like, you know, the Christmas letters with the pictures and stuff from, you know, Aunt Millie or whatever, you know, and the stories and everything? Well, I don't think so, right? But when we read the Bible, what we have here is it says to God's holy people in Ephesus, but it also says to all who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. So this letter actually was written to a group of people in Ephesus, but it was meant to be circulated to everyone back then. So this is like 2,000 years ago, but the amazing thing about God's word is that it has so much relevance for us today. And we're going to kind of explore that over this next couple of months. So this morning it's just an intro, but we want to invite you to come on this journey and find out what Apostle Paul, inspired by God, what God's message through him was for us. Because it has incredible relevance for us today. People are people, and we keep doing the same things and having the same challenges. We're going to learn about how this letter talks to us about how to do life together in family. How do we live our lives with some sense of strength and power? How do we kind of grow more and more like Christ? How do we celebrate this life in a relationship with God? So Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a guy who would go from city to city and share the story about Jesus. Now, Jesus had just lived. He had lived, died, and been resurrected again. And he was going to people who had never heard of that before and said, you know what, I want to tell you about it. So what Paul did was, and I've got a picture here, he would get in a ship. You can see down on the bottom right, there's Jerusalem, and he would go by ship, but he also go by land. You can see the arrows, and they're pointing, and he went up to a bunch of those cities up there, Lystra, Iconium, and then he got down to, you see where 20 is kind of up on the middle there, that's Ephesus, okay? This is all the Mediterranean Sea. I've never been there, but I hear it's beautiful. I've been to Israel, but I haven't been I've been to that Caesarea down on the bottom right-hand corner. But Ephesus was this phenomenally beautiful city. I think I got a picture of it for you here. Okay, that's modern-day kind of Ephesus. Pretty cool place. I mean, that would be a pretty nice place to take a holiday. And this, back then as well, people were coming in and out of that port all the time. So there was all these people coming in and out of Ephesus, and they'd hear new ideas, and they'd go on tourism and stuff like that. They would go to the theater. Now, the theater and the ruins of Ephesus are one of the seven great ancient wonders of the world. And this theater would seat 24,000 people. So not enough, quite enough to host a Super Bowl, but big enough for a hockey Stanley Cup game. And phenomenal what was there in Ephesus. So all these people would come in, they would see this incredibly impressive place. And I know being in Caesarea is like, okay, the power of Rome. Caesar, who declared himself God, like this is power. This is where power is, kind of thing. And they would come there, and specifically in the city of Ephesus, there was this goddess that was worshipped, goddess Artemis. And there was actually a temple built for the goddess. Now, that still isn't standing, but that's what it would have looked like. Like a pretty amazing thing. I heard it was like four times the size of the Parthenon. So this is where people would come, and they would come in, and they would get a little bit of a magic incantation. It was actually a center for the black arts, for all sorts of sorcery. And they would sell little idols and stuff. And Artemis was the goddess of fertility. So I'm not going to show you a picture because she has 24 breasts, but it's kind of weird and creepy. But it was the whole idea that you can prosper. We just finished a series called Flourishing. You can flourish if you just say the right words, if you do the right magic stuff, if you go through the right rituals. It's all about rituals. It's all about buying these idols as well. It's all about kind of putting out so that God does for you because you put out for him or her. And here was Paul coming to the city and saying, you know what? I want to tell you something completely different. Everything that you think about religion, and it's all about what you do and what you saying the right words or going through the right rituals or going to the right temple or whatever. And he brings them back and he says, no, it's not you trying to get to God. It's God coming to you through Jesus. And so he actually spent 2 years, it says in the lecture hall, in Tyrannus' lecture hall there, explaining to people. And you know what? Sometimes it might take us 2 years. It takes us a whole lifetime to get to understand what God has done for us through Jesus. And on so many levels, he just starts to impact and change our lives. And that's what he's talking to these people. This is about 4 or 5 years later. He's writing this letter back and he's saying, remember what I talked about for those 2 years? I just want to remind you of that because it is so important. You are God's holy people. The cool thing about this relationship with God through Jesus is that he's come to us to make a relationship with us, to reach out to us, to say, you know what, I'm going to take my perfection, who I am, all the cleanliness of me, and I'm going to put it into you. And that's why he says, you're holy, God's holy people. It's not about doing a bunch of holy things to get holy. It's like, this is what I've done for you. And grace is that free gift, is saying, this is absolutely free. This is a free gift, unmerited favor. I can't possibly be good enough because, in fact, I need to be perfect if I'm going to get to heaven, and I can't be, so I need you. So what it requires from us is giving everything to him, laying down our lives and declaring it dead and our own and saying, now I need your life inside of me. And we saw it illustrated through baptism as saying, I'm dead and I'm coming back to life because in myself, it's just dead. I need you to fill me and to work through me. And so one other verse I want to share with you this morning, and we're going to go into communion. This is part of the essence and the message of Ephesians. And Kevin's going to go through this particular passage in a couple of weeks. But it says, but God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. There's that word again, grace. It's God coming into our lives and us just in a simple prayer. And it's not a special magic incantation or some sort of thing, but it's really the essence of what you heard this morning too, God. I just need you. And I can't make it. And I'm dead by myself without you. And I need you to take over my life. And I'm going to just humbly come to you and say, here's my life. Can you just fill it up? And he does. And he comes in that moment and he does something very powerful in our lives. And he just begins the process and he begins to change us. And then like Paul says, you become a follower of Jesus and you learn what it means to be like Jesus, where you're giving up your rights and you're giving it over to him. And you're discovering that as you give over to him, he fills you up and he gives you life. And we heard people talk this morning about the peace that comes and the sense of this new feeling that comes inside. And there's a whole set of things that we do that we say, you know what, because you did that for me, Jesus, It's been a free gift. Now I'm responding to you. It's not, I'm doing these things to get to you. I'm not getting baptized so that you'll come. I'm getting baptized, or I'm reaching out and inviting others, or I'm caring for others, and my change is happening because you've done this for me. Communion is really simply that. The whole process of coming to the communion table is saying, I'm just bringing myself, and I'm receiving you. And the symbols of communion are the broken body. The bread is broken. It's the broken body of Christ. Grace comes to us freely, but it costs God everything. It costs us his son. And so we come to thanksgiving, to communion with thanksgiving and just say, God, thanks. You gave everything for me. This is my life. This makes all the difference in my life. And in fact, the grape juice is the symbol of his life poured into us. So this morning, if you'd like to take communion, we want to invite you to do that. Coming into a relationship is, I've heard it described in three words, and I think it's a great three words. It's sorry, thank you, and please. It's saying, God, I'm sorry for trying to do my life on my own terms. I'm sorry for trying to manage it on my own. I'm sorry for trying to control my life. I'm sorry for the wrongs and the sins I've done. Thank you. Thank you for giving your son Jesus to pay for me, that your life could be in me. Please come into my life. Sorry, thank you, and please. And when we do that, then it's like we come to the communion table, we say, okay, I just want more of you, God. Just come and fill my life. I want to be a true follower of you. You're in charge now. So I want to invite you to take part this morning in communion. That's the desire of your heart. That's the prayer of your heart. You know that God has come into your life. We want to invite you to take part in communion. And here at Coast Hills, it's pretty simple. We have a couple of people that are going to be up at the front here with the bread and the juice. And that's the place where you can come and just receive communion. If you'd like to be prayed with or have somebody pray for you, there are two tables in the back. The gluten-free tables are on this side, and the regular kind of bread is on this side. So you're welcome to pick whatever aisle you want. And if you'd like to specifically pray with somebody, there's pastors and there's leaders at the back that are going to pray with you. And if you'd just like to come, take the bread, dip it in the juice, take it, and then go back to your seat. That's the way the process goes here. And the band will be leading us in a song while we do that. So you just take the bread and you dip it in, and then and take that together, and then come back to your chair and sing together. So I want to invite the worship band to come on up. I want to invite the servers at the front to come on up, the parishes, and Don and Debbie here on this side. And you can take the juice and the bread, and we'll participate together. I want to invite you all to stand together. And if there's something you'd like to participate in, we want to welcome you to do that.
King of kings, you are my everything. of lightning, rolls of thunder. Let's sing and dance.